I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 92 of Season 6 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and join me once again today from the upcoming Minute of Thieves is Travis Bowe. Welcome back to the show, Travis.
Hello, hello.
Minute 92 begins with George apologizing. And ends with George just getting ready to storm out of the house. So I like the fact, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, that George's anger pretty much stayed on the same level throughout the entire minute yesterday. But today, yeah, we're going to get a little bit of a roller coaster, you know, which I think is also, as I mentioned yesterday, I think it's a very realistic take, because it's, you see that he's trying to calm himself down, but is unable to do so, and therefore he keeps lashing out along the way.
Yeah, he goes through that roller coaster of being, you know, ashamed of himself, being sad for himself and what he's done to his family, and then angry that they don't immediately forgive him, or, you know, I don't know what he expects in the moment of them, but he is wishing that they would just say, oh, it's okay, and let's forget this ever happened. But he doesn't get that, and he's angry. You know, he's angry at himself, of course.
Right. I mean, again, it partially comes from the fact that they have no idea why he's so upset.
Yeah. You know,
he hasn't really told Mary anything, you know, even though she's tried to understand. But mum's the word. You know, he's not saying anything. He's trying to find a solution on his own, you know, which maybe later this week he's going to try and find some sort of solution. Not necessarily one that most people would want to choose, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. So he starts off by he turns to Mary and the kids and starts to realize that things got a little bit out of control. And he basically apologizes. He goes, I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I you go on and practice. Pete, I owe you an apology too. I'm sorry. What'd you want to know? Nothing, Daddy. Which is a great reaction, because, you know, the family members are still in shock as to the way that he's been acting, and for him to just it basically seems like a Jekyll and Hyde, the way that he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, just yesterday he was yelling at them and saying, what do you think, I'm a dictionary? You think I know how to spell hallelujah? You think I know how to spell frankincense? Stop bugging me. And then I'm sorry. And he's like, what do you want to know? And he's like, forget it. I don't want anything from you right now.
Like, I also like how scary he looks in this minute. You know, he just looks like the lighting on one, like, Mary and the kids, they're all, you know, beautifully lit. They don't, you know, but then when it cuts to him, he is like, part of his face is in shadow. He looks like he's got some 5 o'clock shadow going on. His eyes are kind of sunken in. Like, he just looks,
his hair's a mess.
You know, I think a Jekyll and Hyde is a perfect sort of analogy for this. 'Cause yeah, he just looks like he's being shot in a horror movie, you know, in the one side of the room from the rest of the family. So,
oh, wow. I think you're right about that. But also, if you look at the lighting, so, I mean, we talked about this yesterday, that's apparently his work area. So he has a light, mm-hmm. but the light is shining down there's like a light over the desk so that he has, if he's working on a model or he's working on, I mean, you can see that there's also a handsaw over there also, which can go to the horror, you can go down the horror path also. He's got a saw right there.
Yeah.
Just, stop playing that music, Janie, or I'm going to use this saw on you. You know, that type of thing. But basically, the light shines down. So there's nothing above him. It's all behind him. And because of that, you're 100% right. I mean, he's in the shadows. And he looks very sinister. And the reaction of the kids, I mean, Janie basically starts crying from this whole thing. She has a look on her face that she's about to cry. Like, why is my father acting this way?
Right.
It's
a heavy minute for sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Because the idea is that they're all seeing, and so are we, at the same time, we're seeing a completely different George Bailey. This is, you can call it a Jekyll and Hyde. You can call it, bizarro George Bailey, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, is not, we've never seen him act this way throughout the entire movie. We can even say throughout his life, because, Clarence got the highlights. So, if you're going through the highlight reel, you're going to show if there's anything really major. And obviously this is the most major thing that's happened to him in his life.
Yeah, and I think it's also Mary taking the little one and going over to Janie and like kind of taking that mother protecting her young sort of stance. She's maybe not as worried about the older one, Pete, I think.
Yeah.
She's physically, like her body actions are showing that she's scared. She's protecting her kids from him. And she starts to say, I think she says, "Why don't you?" And then trails off. And I think what she would say is, "Why don't you just get out of here?" Which he does. I think that's the, I think that's clearly what she's.
Okay. I mean, we'll get there in a second. I actually have a different thought as to what she's trying to say. It's in a similar vein, but it's not exactly the same thing. And then George stands there and says, "What's the matter with everybody?" And I think him, that shot of him saying that is even scarier than everything else.
Mm.
Frank Capra has turned this into a horror movie. This entire family, they are scared of their father right now.
Yeah.
They're not used to seeing this. And it goes to show the lengths or the depths that someone can fall to when they realize that they're in a no-win situation. He must have been, walking around for a while trying to figure it out. I mean, in this minute, we actually see the clock behind them. So we know what time it is. It's right now 3:30. At the 48.
Yeah, it seems like I think it's pitch black outside.
Well, that's what happens with black and white movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then again, it is the winter. December 24th is one of the darkest days of the year because, the sun does go down the earliest that week, because the week of December 21st is the earliest that the sun goes down. I don't think it goes down by 3:30 because I think like in New York City, the earliest it goes down is around 4, and this is a little bit further west. Or it's supposed to be, it's northwest of New York City. So, but it's getting close. Let's put it that way. And maybe the clock is off, and who knows, at the time they didn't have daylight savings or anything like that. So maybe it was dark by then. I don't know. We don't really get to see the outside
yeah.
To try and figure that out. And again, it could also be that their clock is wrong. That would be a different explanation as to
Yeah.
what's happening there. George shouts at Janie, goes, Janie, go on. I told you to practice. Now go on, play. And she just says, oh, daddy. And she starts really bawling at this point.
Yeah.
Beforehand, she had the look that she was about to start crying, but at this point, she really does. And at this point, Mary, walks over. This is the point you were talking about before. She walks over to Janie with Tommy in tow, and she is there to defend them,
Yeah.
from whatever is happening to George right now and stuff like that.
Yeah. And she says something about like, why don't you stop torturing them?
Yes, that's right.
And
So she
that's
could.
an odd line
Right. What
that almost.
she says specifically, she says, George, why must you torture the children?
Yeah.
You know,
For some
which.
reason, that to me implies that this has almost happened before. Like he's almost been this way with them before. But I don't, watching the whole movie, I don't get the sense that he's ever been like this before. But that word torture just to me implies that there's some psychological damage that he's, inflicted upon them in the past. I don't believe that to be the case, because he's shown to be a good guy and everything, but that's an just that word, it just for some reason it just doesn't fit with I don't know.
Okay, no, I see what you're saying with that, but I think that's the exact opposite though. I think she's looking at this, that this is the first time that she's seen in this way, and she's like,
Yeah.
okay, you always treat the kids perfectly. Why must you now torture them?
Yeah.
I see that you're having a problem. Deal with your own problem. Don't take it out on the
Right.
kids.
Yeah.
Don't take it out on me. Don't take it out on the kids. And then she says, why don't you? And I think what she's trying to say is, why don't you just go calm down somewhere? Not necessarily outside. It could be,
Yeah.
but maybe go in the other room, go lie down. His response, he starts saying, Mary. And then he like stops.
Yeah.
And he's about to say something, and he doesn't, he decides he's not going to say anything. And then he gets ready to start walking towards the door. So I know that, or I assume, or based on what I know of you, you're somewhat of a musical guy, or not really. I mean, I know that there's a guitar behind you.
Oh, that's just something to put stickers on.
Oh, okay. So, okay. No, because
Once
I.
upon a time, once upon a time, I tried to learn guitar, and but as far as the musical, do you mean just like, I'm not a musical person. Like I've to learn guitar, but failed, basically.
No,
And I
where I was going with
so.
that was I was going to start, talking about the piano.
Oh, okay.
I thought maybe you might have a background and understand
Yeah,
about pianos or
yeah.
anything like that. I know nothing about this stuff. But when do you think the piano was first developed?
Ooh. Well, I mean, are we talking like, because when was like Mozart and Beethoven, they were going back to like the 1600s. So I think possibly older. I don't know. I'll say in the early 1600s.
Well, you're only 100 years off. It's the early 18th century. It's
Okay.
the early 1700s, basically, was
Gotcha.
when they started doing it. So a piano is a keyboard instrument that produces sound when the keys are pressed. Nowadays, pianos have how many keys? Do you know how many keys?
I'm sure the number will ring a bell once you say it, but no.
88 keys.
88 keys. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
52 white keys. And 36 black keys. I'm not a musical person, so I can't explain the difference of why, the different pitches or
Right.
notes of each of those things. I mean, I always find it really cool that the idea is that you have 88 different keys and each one of them plays a different sound. To me, that's always been very cool.
Right.
I've never been able to do anything with a piano. So, The most I know about it is, from the. Have you ever seen the movie Midnight Madness?
No.
So it's a movie from 1980 about an all-night scavenger hunt around L.A.
Yeah.
It's a really fun movie, and I know that it's something that numerous people on the Movies by Minute community have thrown out, that it's something that someone should do one day. I would love to do it, but I don't think there's really enough to do
Yeah.
to do that as a minute by minute anyway. But one of the things there is it comes up, one of the clues is 88 keys, for a piano,
Okay.
because you have to play a tune, and the tune that they play is for like a beer company, a beer commercial, so that they know that the next place they need to go in the scavenger hunt is to Pabst Blue Ribbon plant,
Okay.
that type of thing. So yeah,
Yeah.
I just thought that
In
that.
Dick, Mandy Patinkin's character, he's like the lounge singer, or like he's the piano player in the nightclub that Madonna sings at. His name is, or his nickname is 88 Keys.
There you go. Well, that's one of the Dick Tracy villains, isn't it? Is he a villain?
Yeah. In the movie, no, he's just the piano player. Like he seems like a decent person. In the comics, maybe he's a villain. I don't know. But it's, I don't know if you're familiar with Pete Holmes, comedian. He's got
I've
a
heard the
really
name.
funny,
Yes.
he's got a funny bit about that this year he wants to understand the trumpet. He doesn't want to play it, but he just wants to get it. And he's like, it's got three buttons and it plays all the notes. So it's like,
Right.
I
Okay.
don't know.
I'm looking at the clock again, and I realized that I misread it. The
Okay.
clock says 6:15, not three,
Ah.
not 3:30. Oops. I got the hands mixed up. So okay, that makes a little more sense that he's showing up
Yeah.
at 6 at 6:15. That this does seem more like an evening,
Yeah.
type of situation. Because they're getting ready to with the Christmas tree, and they're getting ready for the pageant and all those things.
Yeah.
I think that makes a little more sense. Yeah, and then that explains why it's dark outside.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah, pretty much.
I noticed in I think right towards the end, there's like a bead of sweat rolling down his face. At first I thought maybe he was shedding a tear, but then looking back at him, like he's actually like his forehead's sweaty. Like he's really worked himself up.
Yeah.
So just a nice love to add to the maniac sort of change in his little personality in these last 2 minutes.
That's right. So in other words, he's transforming into Mr. Hyde. That's what it comes down
Yeah.
to, I think.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else?
One little note. I think it's the most hideous Christmas tree in cinema history.
It's the most hideous.
Yeah, oh yeah. Thing is ugly. And it's probably just the way it's like being shot in black and white. It's probably a pretty tree, but I just think tr Christmas trees from this time, they're just so ugly, with the way people decorated them. And this one I just don't think photographs well.
Do you
So
think it's because of the decoration, or do you think it's just
a little bit of everything. I think it's the lighting. I think it's the way that they, just the amount of what looks like garbage they throw over those trees. I don't know. I just think it looks bad, but
okay. Do you think it's a real tree, or are they using artificial ones still? Or are they starting to
ooh.
use artificial ones? I mean, I don't know the answer.
I'm guessing artificial trees are more of a 50s thing, I'm betting. So this is probably a real tree.
Okay. Do you use a real tree, or do you use an artificial one?
We've stopped doing a Christmas tree the last few years.
Well, we don't have one either, so that's
We've
fine. You're in good company.
yeah.
for different reasons.
We've done both. I prefer a real tree if we do one, but my wife and I just aren't really that big on Christmas trees. We've got so many other houseplants now that there's just no room for a Christmas tree. That's why we haven't done one the last couple of years. So.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right. Anything else for this minute?
Nope.
Okay. So every Tuesday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Inspirational Story Edition, where my guest will give some sort of story, adventure, misadventure, anecdote, something that's happened to them over the course of their life that is somewhat inspirational. So, Travis, you got a story for us?
Yeah. The most life-changing thing I think I can think of in the last, certainly in the last recent, recent memory, like this year has been a tough year. We lost my father to brain cancer.
Sorry to hear that.
And it started like almost a year ago now, a little bit after, but started in January of 2023 on the weekend of his birthday. And then he made it to the day after his birthday, in January of 2024. So he fought, brain cancer for a year, and it was always going to be a losing battle. Like, there's no cure for it. And, but in the course kind of with him, for that year, the last 4 or 5 months of it, he needed, basically constant, help. He needed, a caretaker. And I, happened to lose my job at the right time, because that's when it got really bad for him. I lost my job and then was able to kind of be there with him almost every day. And then towards the end, it was every day. And I learned in that process that caretaking is something that I'm really, I think, pretty good at. And that is sort of what I'm going to do I assume the rest of my life, who knows. But yeah, I'm going to go back to school and go look into nursing, and I'm going to be starting that pretty soon. But because of this last year, I learned that caretaking is, I think, what I'm supposed to do. So, in some way, my dad helped me come to that realization. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but at least you got that extra time to spend with him.
Yeah. No, I'll never regret, being able to be there with him, as much as I was. So.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, yeah. That I'm getting goosebumps just listening to that. But wow, what a great story! Thank you for sharing that with us.
No, thank you.
All right, so Travis, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
I do another podcast called Real Comic Heroes, and over there we, review comic book movies and a few other odds and ends, and you can find that. Just search Real Comic Heroes, Real with two E's.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a search for Movie Run Minute. You can find me on my website, movierunminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So until tomorrow, hot dog.
Hot dog.
I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.